And how often is this undercharging taking place?
Well, it's very difficult to get a handle on the scale of the problem. And defendants, of course, aren't going to complain if they face a lesser charge, and victims may not even be aware of what's going on. These issues often only come to light when a judge who's seen all the evidence speaks out and criticises the CPS charging decision. So, for example, there was a case of a man who was knocked unconscious during an attack in Sunderland in April this year. His attacker was only charged with common assault, and he was sent to the Crown Court for sentencing. And the judge in that case said it was another example of violent offenders being charged inappropriately and that the case was grossly undercharged.
Yeah, and obviously that's a pretty serious case, isn't it? Very similar to the case we heard earlier from Ray Bryce in Derby. But it's happening to, I understand, in even more serious cases than that.
Yes, unfortunately. In Oxford last year, a judge criticised the CPS following an attack on a baby girl, which left her with 29 separate injuries, including bite marks. The defendant was charged with actual bodily harm instead of the more serious grievous bodily harm. Because it was only an ABH charge, the judge could only jail the attacker for 3 years. The judge said the CPS was guilty of a robotic and mechanical approach, which had resulted in a manifest injustice being perpetrated on the little girl and her family.
They're not mincing his words. And there was a case as well, I know, which caused concern earlier this year in Burnley, when a man called Jubel Mia was jailed by magistrates for 16 weeks after admitting common assault on his wife.
Yes, a lot of people close to that case thought that Jubel Mia got off lightly. He'd inflicted significant injuries on his partner over a prolonged period, but he was only charged with common assault, which carries a maximum 6 month jail sentence. And in the end, he was only jailed for 16 weeks.
Well, let's speak to Rachel Horman, who is a solicitor specialising in domestic violence cases. Wasn't directly involved in the Mia case, but has experienced similar issues in other cases. And also John Bromley Davenport, who is a QC, who specialised in criminal work for 30 years, representing defendants and working as a prosecutor. John, you were outraged by the Jubel Mia case in Burnley, weren't you?
Absolutely, and it's very typical of the story that we heard earlier on. Undercharging, it is driven by the need for cuts. That's been frankly admitted to me by two police custody sergeants whom I've spoken to. And it's not just assaults either. There's the downgrading of, for example, street robberies to theft, a sort of snatch theft. Old lady pulled over onto the ground, handbag snatched. It's a robbery because there's violence. So they charge with theft. It makes it much cheaper. It massages the figures. It makes crime look less bad. Earlier this year, there was a report in London, an official report, which criticised the attempts to persuade rape victims not to proceed.
I'll come back to some of those examples in a moment. But, Rachel, the case of Jubel Mia, very disturbing, and your evidence suggests that particularly in cases of domestic violence, this is not uncommon that these kind of assaults are undercharged.
Yes, unfortunately it is very common, and the victims are never consulted about this. The victims who have been tortured basically by their partners for a long period of time finally come forward to the police to tell them about what's been happening, often have evidence of injuries, as in the Jubel Mia case. In that particular case, the hospital had documented previous injuries as well.
So how seriously hurt was the woman in this case?
Well, she had fairly significant injuries. He'd stabbed her with a pair of scissors, he'd attacked her with a dumbbell. He'd given her black eyes, he'd kicked her, he'd punched her, and that's in addition to the psychological terrorism, really.
And this was classed, nevertheless, and prosecuted as common assault.
Exactly. And the other thing is that the psychological aspect is always completely ignored. An ABH can consist of charges in relation to psychological injuries as well.
Anne, what have the CPS said about the Jubel Mia case to you?
Well, they've admitted they got that one wrong. They've acknowledged that the case against Mia should have been prosecuted as ABH and that the sentencing court should have had a sentence of more than 6 months available to them. The CPS has told me that the person who made the decision to charge common assault in that case has been spoken to ensure that lessons are learned.
John, how do you understand that? Do you think there's any doubt or question as to what common assault is and whether this case met the criteria?
Well, it certainly wasn't common assault. It was much worse than that.
What is common assault, just so we understand what that might involve?
Well, a common assault, there are two elements to it. One is element of an assault. If I raise my fist at you, that actually is an assault. If I punch you, that's a battery. Common assault should only be used as a charge when there are very minor injuries. But, of course, there's been a greatly increased threshold of injuries, broken noses, broken cheekbones, broken jaws, frequently charged as common assault. And it's a decision either for the police or for the CPS, if it's referred to them.
Yeah, Anne Alexander, I mean, the CPS is saying that, you know, hands up, they made a mistake in the Jubel Mia case. We're all human. We can all make mistakes. But do they admit that financial considerations play any part in what we've heard from our guest today, their allegations of undercharging?
No, not at all. We've been told by the PCS union that there's plenty of evidence of undercharging, and they think that some of these decisions are made with an eye on CPS resources. But the CPS refutes this. They say all decisions to prosecute are subject to the Code for Crown Prosecutors, which requires that the most appropriate charge is selected so that the court has adequate sentencing powers to reflect the criminality. They say CPS decisions to charge are made by in-house CPS prosecutors who adhere to a code and charging standards.
Now, Anne, you've told us about these prosecutors' guidelines then, which are meant to make sure that defendants are properly charged. But is there any watchdog to make sure that's happening?
Yes, it's called the CPS Inspectorate. And last year it found weaknesses in the way the prosecution service monitors its own performance. They said that in around 7% of case files inspectors looked at, there'd been a breach of the Crown Prosecutor's Code, and that had resulted in cases either being wrongly prosecuted or discontinued altogether.
Discontinued altogether? Just dropped?
Yes, I mean, completely dropped. And the inspectors said it was worrying that officials who review cases internally are failing to pick up the majority of the errors.
John, the PCS union who we've spoken to as part of this programme, obviously they have a vested interest in protecting their members' jobs, so they're going to complain about cuts. You don't have that vested interest. Are you quite clear in your experience that cuts are having an impact on the delivery of justice?
I've no doubt about it at all from people I've spoken to, anecdotal evidence and indeed observations of my own. And, of course, it's entirely in line, I'm afraid, with government policy, which is aimed at sacrificing justice on the altar of economy.
Go on, sorry, John. Go on.
We are seeing these massive cuts as well in legal aid, which... and that's not just in crime. There are huge cuts being imposed by the Ministry of Justice. It's very short-sighted. It will lead to huge increased expenditure in the fullness of time.
And there are concerns as well. We're talking about undercharging for most of this item in the programme, but there are concerns about some cases where no charges are brought at all.
Yes, last year more than 200,000 people who'd committed crimes in England and Wales were simply cautioned by the police. And although a caution goes down on your criminal record, it rankles with many victims that someone who's committed a criminal act is simply seen to be getting away with it because they don't have to go to court.
You're nodding away there, Rachel.
Yes, it's very common in domestic violence cases, even though guidelines say that cautions should not be used in situations of domestic abuse.
I know that 32-year-old Hayley Clayton from Lincolnshire, who I've been spoken to, felt that her assailant had got away with it after being cautioned. She was attacked on a night out in Spalding. She was beaten unconscious and needed 10 stitches in her head. I asked what had happened to her.
We'd been out on a work party, been for a nice meal. First time we'd been out in 3 years. And after the meal, half of us decided to go to a nightclub in Spalding where we spent 2 or 3 hours, and it got to around 1:30, and my husband said to me, you know, we need to start thinking about going home. I just remember my husband taking my hand, walking over to a taxi. The next thing I knew, I was in Peterborough Hospital.
What had happened?
At the time, I didn't know. I was unconscious. I woke up, put my hand to my head and realised there was a lot of blood. Afterwards, my husband came in and said that somebody had hit me. I didn't know anything about it.
And who was this person? Did you know the person who'd attacked you?
No, I didn't. It was totally random. My eye, I've got quite a big scar. I had 10 stitches and a fractured eye. socket, and my eye actually didn't open for 5 days.
What happened to the person who attacked you?
Nothing happened for about a couple of weeks. We had a couple of witnesses that decided, you know, that they would go to court. I just had a phone call from one of the officers to say, we are going to make an arrest. I think they'd found some CCTV of this person from the description from the witnesses. The next day, I had a phone call in the afternoon to say, we've got her in custody. You have two choices. She can write you a letter of apology and pay you £100, or she can have a caution, which, you know, we was disgusted with that.
Was there any mention of a prosecution?
No, not at all. After the officer spoke to me, I actually couldn't speak to him anymore, so he carried on talking to my husband, and my husband said, we want it to go to court, you know, we need to have the maximum for this person, you know, it was unprovoked. And the officer went back to the sergeant, and he said that it wouldn't go to court because it was a waste of taxpayers' money.
You wanted a prosecution?
Yes, definitely. You know, it just doesn't set the right example for any young people out there. You know, if they don't like somebody, they've heard about my story, they know that the maximum they're going to get is £100 fine, if you like.
Quite a shocking story there from Hayley Clayton and Spalding in Lincolnshire. Rachel, you're saying that in domestic violence cases, what, that level of violence may just lead to a caution rather than a prosecution.
Yeah, or not even a caution, unfortunately, in some cases. Victims, I think, are let down by the police, by the CPS, and then sometimes as well by judges. So I do think that they are victimised again by the whole criminal justice system.
John Bromley Davenport, the CPS have been quite emphatic to us that cost is not a decision when it comes to charging suspects.
Well, it seems to me that the evidence is completely against them. They may say that. And the seriousness of it, there are three effects, really. First of all, victims are shortchanged by the system. There are some innocent defendants who are deprived of their right to a trial by jury. And, of course, there's a severe danger that the public confidence in our system of justice will be undermined.
John Bromley Davenport, thanks very much indeed. Thanks also to Rachel Horman as well. Philip in Nottingham says...